It's just not possible to do the things that we're supposed to do, that to provide the services that our community wants. And that's the other thing. We've got to make sure, you have to have oversight, but at the same time, we've got to have local control. We're not all the same. The state of Texas is an amazing place and an amazing economy, but that economy is very diverse. And if we try to control everyone and have everyone do the same thing, we're not going to be creating the services and the needs of each community.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Joe Harrington. Joe is the superintendent at Hearst Euless Bedford ISD, which is in the Mid-Cities area of Texas, close to DFW Airport. Joe, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, my pleasure.
So, Joe, tell us a little bit about your role and what's going on in your world.
Well, my role as, you know, superintendent, it's a busy time, a legislative year, so I had a number of trips to Austin, but, you know, there's a lot going on in HEB ISD. And one of the things I kind of wanted to talk about, we've done a big push this year for CPR, hands-only CPR. I ended up on the American Heart Association board, and they reached out and said, hey, would you be willing to sit on the board? And all I could think of is, well, there's one more thing.
Right.
We're trying to schedule meetings as is, and now I've added one more. Right. And then I thought to myself, well, you know, I know they've got that Cycle Nation program. And I thought, you know, I like to go to spin class once in a while. So I'm like, yeah, sure, I can do this. And then I grew up in Buffalo, New York. And so the whole piece with Damar Hamlin, you know, when he basically died on the field and the trainers, used the AED to start his heart up again. And so I said, you know, okay, I'm interested. They asked me to go to a meeting, and I went to this Nation of Lifesavers meeting, and they started talking about Seattle, and that they had begun an initiative of training people and getting more people actual muscle memory and getting on the mannequins and really working CPR. And the results were that, based on the studies they did, that if you had an incident, a cardiac emergency outside of a hospital, you had a 6 times greater chance of somebody doing CPR in Seattle than you
in
basically the rest of the country, including Dallas-Fort Worth. And, you know, I'm like, okay, as a 61-year-old man, that's unacceptable.
Right.
And I'm like, we've got to do something about this. Because, I mean, we're Texas. We like people. Yeah.
There's a lot of people in Texas.
So what could we do to increase that and change that? And so we started looking at what we do in Texas. And, you know, so in Texas, kids have to receive training on CPR and the use of an AED, but the requirement is one time between grades 7 and 12. That one time can be as little as a video, or for what we do, we have our kids, we do it through our health classes or wherever they get their health credit. And then they are required to watch the video, but we actually do put them on the mannequins, but that's one time. And so what we did, we decided to write it into our curriculum that all of our fifth and sixth graders, and our sixth graders are elementary. We go elementary through six.
Okay.
They will have spend time on the mannequins. And my nurse is like, that's great, Joe, but I don't have enough kits. So we went from 6 kits to 60 within a few months. We got donations. We worked with the Heart Association, got some grants. And all of a sudden, all of our fifth and sixth graders are on the mannequin. We've got kids helping at the hospital, Texas Harris HEB is sending us their interns. And I'm like, holy cow.
Wow.
We've got something going on here. So we go, all of a sudden, I've got 3,600 kids, all my fifth and sixth graders who weren't getting this training are doing it. Then we decided, okay, how do we keep this going? So we decided just high school, we were going to get our band and athletics. And so same thing, talk to our coaches, our nurse trained everyone. And next thing you know, there they go. There, everyone's taking a day. Get the mannequins, get the kits, boom. We're going to do a day of hands-only CPR. And that has just blown up. The junior highs were supposed to start next year. They would not be left out. So the junior highs.
No, of course not, right?
No. Yeah. So the junior highs started on their own. And so they're doing it. So what we saw was we all of a sudden went from a few kids getting these opportunities to thousands. I mean, we're a district of 23,000 kids. And wow. Our goal is to have our students multiple times and hopefully from grade five on, we would love for them every year to get on the mannequin, practice CPR, and then have that muscle memory. And then hear over and over, because, you know, the first step is call 911.
Right.
And so I've created a little mantra of, are you going to use your phone to save someone's life or document their death? Because that's what they do nowadays. Our kids pull out their phones and video instead of doing what we need you to call 911. We need you to take these steps, save a life. You know, don't be a bystander, be an upstander, stand up for somebody. And so I don't know. We're seeing good results as far as just the numbers. And
you're going to save somebody's life. Some child in your district is going to save somebody's life.
And that's the goal. The goal is to make sure that we're ready to do what is necessary. And so we're excited about continuing that and then just expanding it. And we really haven't got any pushback. You know, we've expanded the number of kids that are participating in the Kids Heart Challenge, the old jump rope for heart. We even got the high school kids doing it because I didn't know this. The high school kids, if they do, they can get community service hours. Well, all of your Honor Society kids, our International Baccalaureate kids, they all need community service hours. Well, they can get these on their couch. These are busy kids. But if they'll complete the Finn's mission and watch the videos, that's 8 hours of community service.
Nice.
And that's gold for some of these kids. So
yeah,
they're participating. So we're looking to continue to expand that. And, you know, it's one of those, you know, we need to make sure our kids, you know, they can get their scores in English and in reading and math, but there's also a community piece. And we need to make sure that if we do this, our community is safer than it was. And that's a big part. I mean, we want our kids to be great citizens of our country, of our state, and of our cities. And I want them to be able to say, hey, this is a great place, a safe place. So I think that's an important piece.
It's interesting, too, because, you know, when I was a kid, I have a medical background. I'm an SLP, speech language pathologist, and I did some medical, and then I went into the schools for over half my career now. But you know, it was always mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, you know. And now, and I think about, you know, hands only, because basically all you're doing is you're pushing the air. When you do compressions, you're pushing on the lungs as well. So that air is going in and out because that's how our lungs work. You know, that diaphragm pulls it down and expands it. It's a pressure kind of thing. And it just is like, it's interesting. I just wanted to make that point because it's like, it makes so much sense that as a medical, as having somebody that's got a medical background and I understand the system and how the system works, it's really just, it's fascinating that they've gone that way.
Well, and it removes the hesitation.
Who wants to put their mouth on somebody else's mouth and COVID, I get it. I totally get it.
And so now, and you know, the other thing, people are always afraid, I don't want to do it wrong. I'm like, if they need CPR, they're dead. They'll appreciate the effort. Just go for it.
Yeah. You're not going to do it wrong if you save somebody's life,
even
if you break a rib, because you probably will break ribs.
You probably will.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we talk about the pace and, you know, whether you, we always laugh about, you know, they always talk about staying alive. And now for the younger kids, it's baby shark. And then once you get that in your head, you can't get it out.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, please. I don't want to go there. Please don't go there. That's funny. It's so, and you know, you're, because you're doing that also, you're going to have kids that all of a sudden are paying attention to health and saying, I want to be a doctor. I want to, this heart stuff is cool, you know? And that's, I love that kids are being exposed to and helping other human beings, yeah. You know, that piece of it. Our kids are, and they're no different than any other kids, but there's so much stuff on the phones and, you know, stuff that they're doing and, you know, just my kids are 26, 27 and 22, almost 23. And my 27 year old, she hates talking on the phone. My 26 year old hates texting, chatting, those kinds of things. Don't make me call somebody. I don't want to talk on the phone. It's so crazy. I mean, what did we do? I had the phone with the cord that was attached to my ear, you know, and you had to go in. You had to have the long cord so you could go into the bathroom to get away from your parents.
That's
right?
The thing that there was nothing better than the long cord.
The long cord. Yeah. And they don't even, and then you stretch it too much and then you had a problem, right?
Yep.
They don't have a clue what that, and I've heard too also like that we as older people hold our thumb and our forefinger and, you know, tuck in. I'm doing this for audio, the video audio as well. But, you know, you have your thumb up and your pinky out and the other three tucked in and you put that by your ear and that's a phone. Kids now, they have a flat palm and it's against their head because that's the kind of phone that they have. So when they think about a phone, it's, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing with the thumb and the pinky up? Because we think of a receiver, right? They don't have a receiver. They have a square box. They call it a brick when it doesn't work, right? So crazy. You and I grew up in a totally different generation.
Different time. Sure.
Yeah. I'm 57, so you only got, 4 years on me. So there you go. That's great. All right. Well, let's talk about another initiative. I know you talked about a couple of other things that you have going on, and we have some time. So I wanted to broach some of the other, because it sounds like you guys have some really cool stuff. I know that one's really neat. Let's go on to the next neat thing that you're doing.
Well, the other thing we've been trying to do is, you know, the state of Texas just recently passed the vouchers and the school, the education savings accounts. But, you know, at the end of what kind of bothered me is if you're going to set aside public money for private schools, let's make sure we're fully funding the public schools.
Right.
And we're not there yet. But the mantra was that we needed this because there wasn't choice. And, you know, I think that really that bothers me in the sense that we have tremendous choice. The public schools offer so many programs and we're not done. You know, we're a big school. I have two big 6A high schools, a couple of the biggest schools in the state. We offer lots of programs and we're continuing to add. You know, we don't have an ag program. We didn't have a welding program. So last year we added welding. We were adding early college this year.
Nice.
We're adding a band school of choice for elementary school so kids can start playing their instruments earlier. We're excited about that. We're adding JROTC. You know, these are things that we saw that our community wanted, and so we're looking at them. We're working right now to look to see if we can add an HVAC program. You know, those certifications in the trades are huge. We've had an international baccalaureate program for a number of years, and we produce one of the biggest number of diploma graduates, IB diploma, of a public school. And we don't have it at one. We have it at both of our schools. Both high schools have it. This mantra that there is no choice, there is lots of choice. And we offer lots of choice for our kids and for our families. And we're going to make sure we continue to. And it's one of these, you know, making sure that we're spreading the truth. You know, this lack of choice mantra is just not true. You know, if this is how we want to spend excess money, that's up to the legislature, but let's make sure it's excess. And, you know, we just passed a big funding bill and we had a couple of issues. One of them was teacher salaries. So they took care of that, but the rest of the bill really doesn't provide what we had hoped for or really needed. And, you know, if we might have salaries, but are we going to be cutting programs in the future if we don't have the funding? Now, I will have to say this, HEB, we've done a great job being very frugal and financially efficient with our funds. And so we're not cutting anything. We have nice. Enough money to ride this out and to look at some other options and ways to become solvent. But, you know, I was asked to come to Austin and speak to the Texas DOGE committee as they're talking about the efficiencies. And, you know, there's a group out there, Education Resource Group. They rate HEB as the most financially efficient district in the state of Texas. And I have a deficit.
Congratulations. So and you have a deficit.
And we have a deficit. So if we have a deficit, then it's just not possible to do the things that we're supposed to do, that to provide the services that our community wants. And that's the other thing. We've got to make sure you have to have oversight, but at the same time, we've got to have local control. We're not all the same. The state of Texas is an amazing place and an amazing economy, but that economy is very diverse. And if we try to control everyone and have everyone do the same thing, we're not going to be creating the services and the needs of each community. You know, the three cities of Hershey-Lewis Bedford are very different than the rural communities of Texas. And so we have got to make sure that we create a way. And again, one thing we're not afraid of, accountability, but we need to make sure that these systems evaluate everything correctly and don't force, you know, one size does not fit all. And we've got to make sure that if I'm doing the best for my community, that may not be the best for accountability. And I've said it before, I'm not going to chase a check mark at the expense of a kid. We're going to take care of our kids and we'll figure out the check marks another time.
Yeah. So explain to me and to our listeners a little bit more about the vouchers, because not everybody lives in Texas and that's going to hear this. And I want them to understand what's happening. And that my other question for you is, how is that going to affect special education services as well? I'm a speech therapist. So, you know, my mind always goes to, what's going to happen with special education as this goes into effect?
No, the vouchers is creating these education savings accounts, they're calling them. I think it's up to $10,000for a private school. It's up to $2,000 for homeschool students. There are some of the restrictions that came up late. I liked they put some, you know, I was real worried about how these were going to be. The money can only be used for certain providers. So it's not just money going straight to the parents. Homeschool, I think it's really being pushed for, like, if they were going to go to Sylvan or one of those outside tutoring to use that. And I think a small percentage, maybe 10 to 20% can be used on hardware, like purchasing computers, et cetera. The amount of the voucher goes up to $30,000 for special education students, depending on the needs. You know, I think the limiting factor there is there's a limited number of private schools that do serve the higher needs special education students. So, you know, and some of those are very good schools, but, you know, we've always worried what need are we filling? And, you know, this idea that suddenly, you know, kids of poverty are going to be able to afford private school, you know, we don't see a whole lot of private schools that you're going to be able to go to for $10,000. You're not going to have free lunch. You're not going to have transportation. You know, and then many of the ones at that rate are religious based, which that's fine. You know, I went to Catholic school for elementary school growing up in New York, but that was a choice my dad made and my mom made to go there. And, you know, so I don't know, what's the effect going to be? I've told people, I'm not worried about vouchers. I'm not scared about vouchers. I am opposed to the concept that we're going to spend public money on private schools when we're still not fully funding our public schools. And We're still working our way through this last bill that we have, but we're, we're not back to where we were in 2019 as far as what we can afford. And that's the piece that, I've heard people, well, we can't keep up with inflation. Well, if we can't keep up with inflation, then we can't provide the same services. So we're going to have to find a way to keep up with inflation because I still got to pay the electric bill. But going back to what we offer and the idea that there's a lack of choice, we had a charter school in the area close, and a lot of the parents were calling us and they were very nervous about where they were going to get go to school. And we're not an open enrollment district. And my board actually changed policy very quickly. And we told those families, in district, out of district, the school is here. We'll take everybody. And so we had a kind of an open house at one of our buildings. And the comment was, we knew we were giving up something to come to a small charter. We didn't realize how much, because they didn't realize what we do have. They came and we had a meeting at our CTE center, and they're like, we didn't know this existed. And, you know, that's the other thing, is sometimes people just don't know. And some people would have still made that choice. That's great. Private school, charter school, public school. We've all been around for a long time, and we all have our role, our purpose. And at the end of the day, too, believe it or not, we're all friends. You know,
right. Oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah. I interview you all. I've worked with you all. There's that Texas y'all. But it's true, you know, and that's the beauty of education. You have a passion. You love the kids. You're doing everything you can to serve those kids. I've seen charter schools the same way. I've seen private schools the same way. People love kids. We want what is best for kids. And something I think the pandemic showed us is that sometimes it's public school, sometimes it's charter school, sometimes it's private school. You know, and the thing about, and I'm a therapist, so IDEA is a big part of everything that I do. Individuals with Disability Education Act. If you don't know what IDEA is, I always try to make sure that I don't acronym people to death.
I know, I'm bad about speaking in it myself. So
we do. I'm just do, but that mandate is only, that law is only if you take federal funds. If you take federal funds, then you are mandated by law to provide special education services to that student. When I started my career, I did not know that. I did not know that private schools did not have to provide those services, because I knew people who had a special needs child and they went to public school. And then the rest of their kids were going to private school. And I was like, Why are you making, I didn't understand the choice that they were making until I understood that, because that particular private school did not offer services that that child needed. And it's like, it's kind of like, there's just this dichotomy of, you know, yes, I know you're choosing this, and I understand, I'm a Christian. I also understand public schools and charter schools and private schools that are Christ-based, you know, I get that. We all love our kids. We all love our kids. Do you remember the song, I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too? It was during the Cold War way back, you know? It's the same kind of concept. Everybody loves, we as human beings love our children. And I'll tell you, if you harm a child and you go to jail, you better hide, because those people have justice. That is the worst thing you can do, is hurt a child and go to jail. And they know that you did it, you're in trouble. Because it's such a societal thing. You know, we love our kids. I don't have the answers either. But I know that you love the kids and you want the kids to be successful. And so whatever you choose, do the best that you can for the kids that you've got. And let's fund education. Let's fund special education. And IDEA hasn't, Child Find, never been funded.
Well, that's what, you know, we were talking about. And I know we're hoping to see some additional funding through these bills. And there's some new mechanisms coming on board. So it may be a year or two before we fully know. But we estimate that special education last year was underfunded at least $2 billion in the state of Texas.
Crazy. Texas.
And that's not just Texas. That's the feds also not living up to their percentages either. And so, you know, and, you know, the Department of Education going away, what is that going to mean? You know, we get our title grants, we get our special ed funding. You know, if that money moves and, you know, what is that all going to look like? You know, but that's, you know, people always, you were talking about, you know, the requirements and of special ed. Now, what the feds have no real hold on K-12 education. That, you know,
it's at the state level. It's at the state level. It absolutely is.
So it goes to the state.
Which is the argument that you shouldn't have a federal Department of Education. And I'm not going to take a side on that here. I have my opinion, but I'm not going to take a side.
Well, but that's the thing. It's if you're going to remove yourself, you know, the feds, all their strings is the money. And so that's how they, without money, they don't have any control. But the, again, if you go back, then they shouldn't. But if we're going to do that, then we've got to move all of that into the states, and the states would then have to account for all of that. So,
that's my hope if it does happen, you know. But then at the state level, then the states, I love Texas. I live in Texas. I chose to live in Texas. You know, we've been here for 3.5 years and it's a beautiful state. And I've lived in multiple states, I grew up in Nebraska, but I lived in multiple states as an adult and moved down here 3.5 years ago. And just, I love it here. And I love Texas. I love the Texans. My dad had been down here for 25 years before that's kind of, everybody was kind of moving. My whole family, like over the years, had moved. My brother's been in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for 25 years. My dad, he, God rest his soul, he passed away a couple of years ago, but I got to see him more in the last 2 years of his life than I'd seen him in 10 because I moved to Texas, right? But everybody here just wraps their arms around you and says, hey, we're happy you're here. We're, you know, pulls you in. I love that about Texas, but not every state is that way. And that's the big concern, I think, is, you know, which states are going to manage it well and which states are not. Because any time that you take an influx of funds like that into a department, the prayer and the hope is that it will just flow, take that piece out and have it flow down where it needs to be at the school level. Because when you've got program after program after program, pet project after pet project, that doesn't ever make it to the schools. That money in the federal government isn't making it. So my prayer is if they do that, that it will. I said I wasn't going to get political, but I guess I am a little bit. But, you know, just as the, let's make sure the money gets where it needs to go, which is our children. And and that's the frustration when you pay taxes is like, where is that money going? You know, you make a lot of money and then the government takes a big old chunk of it. And it's like, what am I paying for? You know, and we want it to pay for our kids. We want our kids to have a good education. We don't want you to have a deficit. And I think that the nation, the people, whether you're for or against it, I don't care. But let's just take care of our kids, right? Yeah. Let's get them. And that's the fun. And that's, I think, where we need to be. Like, everybody believes that. Everybody believes that. Yeah. So let's make that happen. And there, I've said you got me on my soap. You are the first person, Joe, that has gotten me on my soapbox.
There we go.
I've tried really hard to stay off my soapbox, but there you go. Like it or not, you can not listen to my podcast if you think I said the wrong thing. But I love the kids, and I want the kids to have, just like you do, and just like anybody on either side of the aisle, we want those kids to get a good education and for our teachers to be paid well and for our programs to work so that our kids grow up and become the people that we know that they can be.
Yep.
So, yeah, sorry. Oh, we are definitely from the same generation, you and I. So tell me, Joe, where do people, it's been a great conversation and I appreciate you letting me rant. I don't usually rant, but there you go. Where do people go to find out more about Joe Harrington and HEBISD? Where do they go?
HEBISD, just Hearst Euless Bedford Independent School District. If you Google us, you'll find us.
Great.
You know, and we're a pretty, we're an interesting district and we're worth a little more to look at. We're one of the most diverse districts in the entire state. And I think Trinity High School is often considered the most diverse high school in the nation.
Love that.
Just very interesting place. But find out more information on our website. You can find my information. My contact information is on our website also, joeharrington@hebisd.edu.
Beautiful.
But if I can help anybody out, give me a holler.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe. It's been a pleasure to have this conversation. Keep up the good work. We know that I know you're doing it. I know you're doing it. And the kids, and I really would love to hear, because it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. Some child is going to save their parents' life, their grandparents' life, because of what you've done. And make sure you let us know when that happens, because we will make a big deal about it from our corner of the world, because what you're doing is changing the world for the better. On the Brighter Together podcast, that's the point. We are brighter together. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.